I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You're that on the clock. You want to make sure that we're that good with commercial breaks. I suppose. Bottom of the hour.
But there's no need for it, and I keep turning it off, but it just keeps coming back on, you know, every time. So it's weird.
Yeah, that was the annoyance of my alarm this morning. It was
actually going off.
Yeah, yeah. It just went off, and then it went off again and again and again and again, and it's no fun. I did not like that.
Do you have? I feel like you're one of those guys that has like that real annoying ass alarm that goes off, like the biohazard, you know.
Oh, kind for of. The love of God, no! I remember it was like last year or something. Was watching like Band of Brothers, and I was like, God, those are just American heroes, and you
hell
know,
yes,
just
the let's
amount
go,
of, amount of discipline those guys have. You know what? I'm gonna set up the Army bugle
oh,
as
I
my
you're gonna have
alarm.
Some bugle music.
And that lasted all of 3 days, I want to say.
No, I understand.
The first day you did that?
The first day that happened, I was just like, oh, that's right. Yeah, I set that. Second day, I'm like, okay, this is already not going well. And then the third day, I was like, yeah, this is
what an annoying sound.
It's not
like,
happening.
And I assume like it probably gets really soothing for those that are in the service, like at a point. It's like okay.
Soothing?
Yeah, for real. It's like, yeah, okay, you know, you get, no, seriously,
you probably get really used to it.
Yeah, you probably get really used to it, and it's probably hard for you to wake up and not hear that, like at a point, like once you come home and you've, you know, been, you get a chance to, you know, I don't want to say take a leave or, you know, anything like that, but you might not be in the service at that point, and then you just come home and it's probably weird. So that's probably a lot of people's alarm clock. You know,
oh, look at him. He's sleeping so peacefully.
Like,
I used to have this really annoying alarm clock when I was like in high school, and it was cool because you could like there was a button on it, you could press it, and it would just tell you what time it was. So if you couldn't see late night or didn't want to wake up, just reach over and press it. Bing, 1:32 a.m. Cool, you know.
It would say it to you.
Yeah, it would say it to you, which is cool. But you get to choose what the alarm sound sounded like, and they're real soothing ones. Man, I picked the rooster every morning, and guess what? It always got me up. It was so annoying to where, and then if you don't obviously snooze it after 5 minutes, it goes off again. So, yeah, I mean, now I need a nice little soothing,
yeah,
you know, little chimes to wake me up.
I wake up to For the Love of Money by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
That's a great record.
It is.
Did you know that was get a, that money,
did
man.
You know that was a song before it was For the Love of Money? It was for a call for the Love of Money. It was also on Ruthless Records. But it wasn't Bone Thugs until later. Like, they had the song. They were like, you know what? Bone Thugs can use this for the love of money. It's the exact same song with Not no rap lyrics, but yeah.
Bone Thugs trivia here on Sports Center.
Hey, I just found that out. I just found that out like 2 weeks ago, so it's funny you say that. I'm a big Bone Thugs fan. Funny story, when I was in sixth grade, can't remember, Creeping on the Come Up was Bone Thugs' like first album. And on that album, they were talking about like Ouija boards and, you know, like some kind of some devil stuff. And my mom heard me listening to the Ouija song as she comes in the front door.
Turn that off!
And immediately took the CD out and said, yeah, you're taking this back.
Yeah, you don't F with that
stuff. You're taking this back to the store.
I think my mom did that, but I had, for some reason, the Uncle Cracker CD at that point.
Oh,
I was
okay.
In like second grade, third grade, and there was some lyrics in that one.
Suggestive.
Yeah.
You know,
Uncle Cracker, man, he had a stranglehold on the youth in 2003, 2004. Are you kidding me?
I don't know if you remember, speaking of youth, back in the day, they had a Nickelodeon alarm clock, which had like the Nickelodeon theme song you could wake up to.
That was connected to a giant vat of slime.
Yeah, right?
That's how that woke
wake
you
up.
It woke me up every morning.
Just get slimed every morning.
Why is your bed so dirty? Well, yeah. For other reasons.
Why is it covered in green goo?
I don't know, Mom. Why? No, why did you get me this alarm clock? No, but it did include both of those noises, the rooster and that, I think it's the taps is what that, the morning
like
taps.
The army bugle.
And it did include that, and that's what I ended up doing.
What a great channel. What a great time, man.
Oh, my God.
You know, if you're out there right now and you were born in the 2000s, like, you're a Disney Channel kid.
Oh, you know
like,
what?
Like that was your thing. You're Disney Channel. We are Nickelodeon Cartoon Network. Those are the channels that really kind of raised us.
Well, I was wondering last night, I was out with my buddy and we were talking about like, you know, being a substitute teacher and you're like, wait, what class is this? You know what? Whatever. We're watching something on the TV. And my buddy then referenced Bill Nye. And
Bill
I was like,
Nye, the science
and
guy.
I was like, dude, how great was Bill Nye? And also, how many kids nowadays do they have any idea who Bill Nye is?
Kids science grades
no.
suck
like,
right
if
now
I,
because
if,
there's no Bill Nye.
If I went to my son, if you went to your son, I'd be like, hey, what you know about Bill Nye? And he'd be like, I don't know.
What's a Bill Nye?
I don't know what Bill Nye is.
Joe, I was literally, you know that Fox show, The Floor, hosted by Rob Lowe? So my wife and I, we were looking for some trash.
I know of it. I do not watch it.
Yeah, my wife and I were looking for some trash TV just late night to kind of, you know, ease into bed, easy viewing. And this show, it's basically a quiz show and you see pictures of things and then you guess what they are according to a certain category. And that came up very recently. And no, it was probably like a 20-some-year-old. They did not know who Bill Nye the Science Guy was.
Bill!
Yeah, that's
Bill.
One of those things. Like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego is how I know where a lot of stuff is.
Where
you know?
San Diego
Seriously,
is.
Seriously, where I know is number one, where is San Diego?
That it's even a city.
Where is the hell is San Diego?
Yeah, so it's I don't know. Those shows were real educational for kids. They're also kind of fun. They all had, like, dope-ass theme songs. Where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? What a cool show. Did you watch Carmen Sandiego? I know you're younger, Joe, so...
I was a little bit later. I was on the tail end of
there was a
cartoon the run.
Yeah, you probably... you might have missed it.
If so, it was like the very tail end of it.
Yeah.
One that has transcended generations, Inspector Gadget, that cartoon. God, that was probably written and like created by some Japanese anime studio in the 70s.
By the same people that made Power Rangers.
Yes, that is
it
correct.
It was made by them. I found that out the other day as I watched the Dark Side of the Power Rangers, which is really... there's a show, I forget where it's on. I think it's on Max.
It's on Max. It's
documentary
a good one.
About that.
Well,
yeah.
It's like, and it's multiple like celebrity instances over.
Yeah,
like,
one,
the past,
it's like
20
each
years.
Episode's a documentary in itself.
And one was about Power Rangers. And I was like, damn, I had no idea all the stuff was going on with the Power Rangers.
Well, they didn't make money.
I knew the two things about, you know, Trini, the Yellow Ranger. I can't remember her actual name, forgive me. And then. The guy that was the Green
Trang
Ranger
was her name.
Was it okay?
And then Jason David
Frank. Yeah. And so, but outside of that, I was like, man.
Sorry, Power Rangers knowledge. Let's go. I go down a rabbit
hole.
That's
some pretty dark stuff with some of those.
Well, I just
dudes.
Find it weird that the black Power Ranger was black and the.
Apparently,
know,
they had
Asian
no idea.
They, was yellow.
They had no idea that they did. That
no,
they racially profiled those people
what?
On purpose.
How about that? And then the leader is this powerful white ranger?
Yeah.
How about that?
Well,
that was because they...
Yeah.
Joe, there was footage that had been created already that they were drawing off of. There was no racism
they knew.
Involved there.
They
buddy.
Knew. There's
they
no...
Knew.
Listen. I'm all for, like, being understanding and all those things and empathetic
Come
and
on.
Forgiving.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Forgiving all those things. Yeah, right?
But sorry about that, guys.
The Asian person is the Yellow Ranger and the black guy is the black... Come on, man.
What are you doing?
Yeah, the black guy could have easily been the Blue Ranger.
I will say though, 5-year-old Joe made a sick Black Power Ranger for Halloween 1 year.
Let's go.
I mean, the black one's cool, man. He could do breakdancing and stuff.
Wait, which one? Yeah, Zach or Adam? Because then they ended up switching.
Definitely not Adam.
Because the after it was the Black Ranger was black, Adam, the Yellow Ranger was Asian, and then the Black Ranger was Asian, and the Yellow Ranger was white. Or was
we
black,
fixed it.
Excuse me.
We fixed it, guys.
And then they brought in like a white South African to play, or Australian.
NFL to ending racism. Power Rangers did it long ago.
Man, they were in the mix, you know, well before the NFL.
Speaking of things from my youth, though, Rashad, there was something that I noticed at my parents' house the other day, and I thought of you. Because I was like, I'm going to say this to Rashad, and he's going to find it disgusting for one completely different reason. But I feel like I brought up to you how back in the day, how I used to eat broccoli as a kid. And
Was it with mayonnaise?
Yeah.
Jesus. No. Come on, Will Levis. What are we doing?
Wait, did you dip it cold in mayo?
Oh, no. It was like steamed broccoli.
Mayo?
Yes, yes. but I go to my parents' house the other day, and my niece is there also, and she's like 13. She was mowing down on some artichoke, like with the leaves, you know?
With some mayo.
With some mayo. With mayo, yeah.
That's a lot. I see a lot of people, you know, kind of do that. It's gross and disgusting to me. Obviously, like, I remember being in Europe and people, and it reminds me of Pulp Fiction every time they're eating their fries with just mayonnaise. There was no ketchup and everything. It was just like globs of mayo, and I was like, gag me with a spoon, bro. This is disgusting.
So, yeah, the artichoke with mayo, is that...
That's a thing for people. Like, I think that's a thing for most people that eat, like, just the artichoke, like, leaves or whatnot, so...
It is. It's
yeah,
like,
I think...
I used to do that, but I just was wondering as far as your view of artichoke consumption.
I love it.
What kind of, on the line as far as, like, okay, that's not an acceptable dip?
Yeah.
For that?
It really depends. Like, some mayo-based things are okay. I don't mind them. Like, you know, but sometimes, like, for instance... I like potato salad, you know, but depending on who... Number one, here's a question that... And I'm going to let you guys know, for those of you who are not melanated out
No,
there,
we do not put raisins in
it's
ours.
It's not even that. But there is a one specific question. When we come to a cookout or we come somewhere, we don't care about who made the ribs. We don't care about who made the greens. One question is going to come up. Who made the potato salad?
Oh, boy.
If somebody that you know is just a fair cook, nah, I'm good. I'm not gonna mess with that, you know. But if the auntie with the maybe they might have a little bit of chicken wing on the arm, yeah. If they have a little chicken wing on the arm, then that's gonna be fire, you know. But the key is to not have too much mayo. So if there is like a lot of mayo and stuff, I'm like, ugh, no, thank you, and everything. But like an artichoke dip, if I make it myself and don't have to use mayo, then man, absolutely, like it's gonna be fire.
You know, so. Yeah, I also do artichoke leaves with salsa.
Oh.
Have it with some salsa or some butter.
Yeah.
Some melted butter.
Anything melted butter on anything is fire.
It's like a chef's secret, right?
Seriously,
you just add butter.
Just add butter to anything. And any food you think of, you just add a little butter and you might have changed everything.
I think it was Paula Deen that said butter is everything.
Well, she also said the N-word, but yes.
A lot of stuff. It's a lot of stuff. We almost forgave Paula Deen for a minute.
Discussing the butter part of Paula Deen. Okay?
We almost forgave Paula Deen for a quick minute. It was kind of like
she didn't have a cooking show on News Nation.
Yeah, you know, and she just kind of it went weird. Like, she had us for a minute, but then
I separate the cook from the racist.
This mashed potato recipe is going to make those liberals cry because of how tasty it is.
Big Mama taught her how to make all that stuff. All that stuff. So she's giving out all them secrets. But
on the text line, 503-864-6326, you can use that to interact with us.
Please do.
Someone did. And they say, I teach in a middle school. They know Bill Nye. Well, I am glad
awesome.
Good
that
for you.
I don't know if you're a science teacher and you are helping that. And if so, God bless you for making sure Bill Nye is still culturally relevant in 2025.
Listen, nothing was better than that 30, 40 minutes you were going to get when they rolled in the TV and you were like, yes.
Just, yeah, that the intro starts.
Yes, here we go.
Bill,
Turn those lights off for a minute. Yeah, this is going to be a good day.
They throw a Reading Rainbow on, too, every once in a while.
Man,
that was nice.
Take a look in a book. Reading Rainbow. Butterflies in the sky. I can go twice as high. That's what those are. Hey, man.
Bars.
Yeah, bars, man. Great LeVar Burton.
Yeah, LeVar Burton's a stud.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get sportsy, shall we? We got a game to preview. a game 7 to preview.
Woo!
We're going to break it down. X's, O's, matchup completely. What else we got? We got a matchup that we know is going to happen in the next round of the playoffs. We got a big old contract signed in the NFL. We got a, not contract signed, but a contract will be signed here in the future between this city's NBA team and a new owner in the future, or
which
owners.
Which won't be who we wanted it to be, but it's all good.
Well, no, he's, yeah, we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But first, let's talk a little Game 7. That's what's on the slate for today in the NBA. We'll get to that next here at Sports Sunday. Today, anything. Do you think they had that in Serbia? I don't think Jokic was watching Power Rangers.
Probably
had some Serbian version of Power Rangers.
Power Rangers was huge. Yeah, it was definitely dubbed over, you know.
It was a worldwide phenomenon, but the only place, I believe it was either Thailand or Malaysia, that it was totally banned because the word morphine sounded too close to morphine. So they literally didn't want kids going around saying,
I understand it.
It's the mighty morphine Power Rangers. So they banned it from their damn country.
Saves a lot of lives making that choice. Good for them. Good for them, Malaysia. Yeah, the Nikola Jokic, he's going to have to find something deep down in him like he's a Power Ranger.
Deep down in his plums, man.
Yeah, they're the blues hue. Yeah, the whole entire Denver Nuggets, well, possibly the Denver Nuggets, without Aaron Gordon today. Ouch. Hamstring strain. Buddy. He is...
It's going to take him weeks to heal.
Yeah, which means that he will not play today. I don't care if you read things, oh, they're trying to find a way.
It's a grade 2 strain.
He ain't going anywhere. He ain't doing nothing.
Grade 2 is worse than grade 1, right?
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor.
That's kind of what I thought. So.
I don't know. Like, it's like DEFCON 1 is the worst
going
one.
Going backwards, yeah.
Or is it the DEFCON 5 is the worst one? See, I don't know.
I have no idea.
So one is the worst.
I don't know if grade 1 hamstring strain is worse than grade 2 or grade 3, but either way, he is likely going to be out for game 7 tonight. I'm honestly surprised that we even got to this point. I thought at worst, or this would be a 6-game series, and I was even going that far, I was like, I don't know, I think Thunder could wrap this up relatively quickly. Those damn Denver Nuggets, man, they just do not die.
No.
It's just, and the fact that they're playing two rookies as well, like meaningful minutes in the playoffs. And now, I mean, they're going to have to play them probably even more if Aaron Gordon isn't going tonight. See what I did? I even threw out the possibility
good
of
job.
It. If. Yeah, no, he's not. It's not going to happen.
Hey, who's Julian Strother? Like, I remember him a little bit during the regular season.
Oh, where did he?
Gonzaga!
Gonzaga, yeah, there we go.
Go Bulldogs, someone, pride of Spokane.
Someone just referenced that the other day I was golfing with, that he's a Zag Bulldog. But, man, I kudos to the Nuggets making it this far, pushing it to 7 games, but I'm rolling with the Thunder. I've rolled with them to win the NBA playoffs. I think they're the overwhelming favorite at this point in Vegas, that of the remaining teams. And I say that they win this game 7 tonight over the Denver Nuggets in advance to the Western Conference Finals.
I think still at plus +1. It's got to be like minus -100 odds.
I mean, Denver has beat them on their home floor, right? So it's not to say that it can happen. I honestly... We've seen that Shea can be stopped. That's what we're seeing in the playoffs. Like, Shea can be slowed down a little bit. Jokic can't. There's nothing you can do about him. Like, the way he makes baskets, it's ugly. There's nothing pretty about it. It's grimy. Like, it's down low. It's everything
he shoots. It's downright disgusting.
Everything he shoots goes in. He's one of those players that you look at and like, how did that go in? Are you serious, man? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, he hit that 3 in game 5.
That turnaround, get it.
Yeah.
Turn,
to
pivot,
tie it
like,
or take the lead.
Off the right.
It never looks like it's going
on.
In.
Like,
the Sambor shuffle,
yeah,
if you will.
It's like, come on. You're right, Jordan. It doesn't look like this should go in, but they always go in. And I think that's the beauty and the genius of his game. As ugly as I think it is, as far as the scoring standpoint of things, like, Jokic is just... It's like, again, he's playing water polo out there. His ball's up here. He's just throwing it to whoever, you know, he wants to out there. And
well, isn't it wild that, like, here we are, game 7 between the number 1 team in the NBA record-wise for regular season, should be the overwhelming favorite to win this, win the NBA championship. And we're talking about Jokic. Like, his team very well could be eliminated today. You know, it could be, you know, a blowout. But that dude, what he is able to do and what he is able, like, that team just knows if he's on the floor, we have a chance.
He is.
We will always have a chance with him on the floor.
Here's a dude that has an opportunity to win his fourth MVP in like 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah, he's nasty.
Which is insane. Like, I mean, there's never been a run in, because let's be real, Jokic's run started in what, 2016, 17?
Something like 18? That, yeah.
So from 2018 till 2025, you rack up four MVPs, potentially a championship, you know, in between there. Like, how many dudes, like, he's, again, we talk about Steph and we talk about, you know, Bron, and obviously the championships that would separate Steph and Bron, but yo, like, Jokic is on that same
That's
platform.
What there's, like, yeah, if it's not the Timberwolves winning it, because we did the whole, like, who would we want to see win the championship next week, or we did that last week, talking about who we would like to see be the next champion, and the Nuggets would be right up there with the Timberwolves. I mean, there's part of me that it's like, this would be a crazy run after firing your head coach if they were able to win this game and then win the Western Conference Finals and beat the Timberwolves and then just finish it off. Like,
yeah.
They are dead tired. But how they're able to still pull out these wins. I didn't think they were going to win Game 6. And they didn't just win Game 6. They were basically in control the entire time.
I think as Blazer fans, we should take a little pride because we are the reason that Jokic end up becoming the guy that he's
because we took Nurkic off their hands.
Seriously. No, it's not that part. And then remember, Western Conference Finals 2019. Like,
oh, the four overtime game?
Jokic just completely...
Oh, the semifinals?
He was gassed. He was gassed by time. But that's the reason the CJ was able to go off and do what he could do, because Jokic, by the time they got to the first overtime, was just... There was nothing he could do. Now it's like he doesn't come out of the game. He stays in the game. Like, his conditioning, while it might not look like it, his conditioning is awesome because he can play the entirety of the game and still be a huge factor, you know, late in games. And so... He's huge, and I just think really at this point, OKC is in trouble. Like, I know they're at home tonight, and so that's definitely in their favor. Aaron Gordon being out tonight, I think, is the biggest – that's the biggest
that's
piece
huge,
of this puzzle for them.
Yeah. He's, like, been great these playoffs, and, like, to have that's such a gut punch.
He's been their second-best player for this playoff run. He's been their second-best player.
You make that case, yeah. I mean, Jamal Murray has had up-and-down nights, but as far as the most consistent throughout the playoffs –
Series is probably over if Aaron Gordon doesn't make that three-pointer to end game one,
huh?
Right? The series is probably, you know, it might be, at this point, it's probably 3-2, something like that, looking more like OKC. And Aaron Gordon was able to save the day. Remember, first round, Aaron Gordon saves the day, you know, so they can beat the Clippers, which that series looked like it was going in the Clippers' way. And he came in and stepped up. So without him tonight, who is it going to be from this Nuggets team? I think that's the biggest question for them.
Russell.
Because I think at home, I think OKC, they've been playing pretty well at home. You know, so I think they can pull that out. But who is going to be the guy? Is Russell Westbrook going to shoot you into oblivion tonight? Like, is Michael Porter Jr. going to be able to score a little bit with that gimpy arm of his? Are we going to see more of playoff Jamal Murray?
Is he feeling better? Yeah, because he had like 25 points with a cold or a sick or whatever the hell he was in game five.
Isn't that crazy? Whenever somebody's sick, they have a crazy game. That's the thing. Like, if you got a
Jamal
Murray's
flu
some
game,
type of
yeah.
thing, like, everybody, you go crazy. Dirk.
The Jamal Murray trots game. That's what we're going to see tonight.
Yeah, that's funny. One of those things. So
he had to run to the locker room.
I guess that was the Paul Pierce game, the Paul Pierce trots game.
Oh, God, yeah. We've heard about that.
That guy, man.
He had the green apple splatters. And he was splattering threes, that's for sure. Yeah, I'm rolling with the Thunder in Game 7, but if I'm wrong about them winning it all because that means the Denver Nuggets beat them in a Game 7, I can live with myself.
Well, we already saw one seed go down in flames, and none of us saw that coming. And so at this point, I have no expectations of anybody. I want to see a good game. I don't expect OKC to win anymore because I totally expected Cleveland to run all the way over Indiana, and that didn't happen. And nobody expected the Knicks to lose to Boston, especially the way that they lost to Boston prior to the injury to Jason Tatum. Nobody was expecting that. So
I don't know. That series started with a bang with 2-0 on the road.
That's
one. Knicks,
but nobody's again, coming into that series, nobody expected that to be the case. Boston was probably the favorite in the East to go back to the finals and potentially even repeat. So for it to come down to Indiana, which I love, the Knicks, screw them, because we'll get there another time.
Well, we can do that next. I mean, that's where I wanted to go to, is we do have the other side of the bracket figured out as far as Eastern Conference goes. So
really quickly, just look at three-point shooting today, too, because
for sure,
OKC has not, when they lose, they haven't shot the ball as well, and it kind of allows Denver with basically half a team to step in. So without Gordon, like, they're basically going to have to give the ball to a gimpy Porter and hope that Jamal Murray hits about five threes. And I frankly think Jokic is going to have to shoot more threes than he usually does.
And without Aaron Gordon, it's a lot of their toughness inside, right? So a lot of those extra rebounds, those putbacks, you know, somebody that's going to be able to play some pretty good interior defense at their, like, now that part is missing for you. So I think Denver is in trouble, but as long as they got Jokic, I'm telling you, there's a chance.
All right, like I said, we got the other side of the bracket, Eastern Conference Finals, figured out. Let's preview that one as well, because coming into the bracket, I don't know if this would have been people's prediction. At least, you know, we would see one of the top teams in there, one or two seeds, but we do not. We get a Pacers-Knicks Finals. What year is it? 1999?
Love it.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Knicks, Pacers. Pacers coming back to the Eastern Conference Finals for a second straight year. Good for them. And the New York Knicks, their first Eastern Conference Finals since
2000.
Wow.
It's like Latrell Sprewell.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I knew it had been a while. I mean, I guess they always got to this. The furthest they went with Melo was the second round. And then,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, outside of the Melo years, The Knicks have not, yeah. I mean,
the Knicks are the Knicks. They've been nicking for years.
They've not been a top threat in the East for since 2000. I mean, like, that's how it's felt like. They have always been at best a 4-5 seed at best.
Well, there was that one year with Melo where they were like a 2 seed. And they were pretty good.
Were they a 2? See, again,
like 2 or 3. There was one.
Maybe
one
it was year. Like a 1 year anomaly. Yeah, because yeah. I always felt like they were always around that 4-5 to 6-7-8 seed or just not in the playoffs.
What was that stat that took them like over 40 years since 1984 for the first time since then that the Knicks and Celtics have met in a second round series? Like, it's been a while since New York has been good.
No, for
yes,
sure.
But they are good now, and they are taking on the Pacers. I don't know who I like in this matchup. Like, there's part of me that wants to go with the Knicks because I feel like their starting five is just more talented overall. But the Pacers, man, they just you want to talk about a team that just wears you out. And
they just hoop.
They're running, and they're running. And they've got some guys who I think are, you know, criminally underrated that – once you see them ball out, you're like, oh, yeah, I guess he is pretty good. Oh, yeah, he's really good. Oh, yeah, he's really good, too. Like, it to me, the depth on the Pacers, I like more. I like their 1 through 9 or 10, if you will, whereas the Knicks, I like that starting five more. But, like, that's why, like, I would like to see the Knicks win. I would like the, I just think we talked about this a few weeks ago. As far as someone wanting a championship or what it would help for their resume and their legacy as far as how they are perceived. I think Karl Anthony Towns is up there as one of the top guys that it really still remaining as would need that for his validation and for his career validation and being a former number one overall pick, how much of an impact he brings to a game. But the more I just think about this series, the more I think that the Pacers are built for this moment and have the better team overall and are going to take the opportunities that are given to them as far as Knicks making a mistake and they make them pay for it.
And, you know, the one thing that we don't give the Pacers enough credit for is they didn't just get here, right? Like, this has been
they've been good for a couple of years now. Yeah.
Like, last year, remember, the Pacers were the team that was kind of blowing everybody away by the time we got to the
in-season tournament.
Boo.
The IST. But
by the time we got there, the Pacers, remember, they played in the finals against the Lakers that year.
Yeah.
And everybody expected the Pacers to be the team that won. Fast forward, you know, up into the playoffs, the Pacers made it to the conference finals last year. And if it weren't for a bunch of guys getting nicked up, you know, in games 2 and 4 or whatever, then maybe things are different for Boston. I think Boston was just better than everybody last year, even without Porzingis, so I don't know if it really would have mattered. So it's not a surprise to see them here right now because they play great defense. They play great team defense. They smother you. They do a good job of getting to the rack. They've got guys off the bench, like you mentioned, Joe, the guys like the T.J. McConnells of the world, and Thomas Bryant came in all of a sudden, just gave you a great game. If Obi Toppin can kind of keep that energy, which he, you know, usually has, like, he's a big energy guy off your bench. Like, you've got dogs. And then you look at Tyrese Halliburton, who just keeps hearing, as good as he is, yeah, you're overrated. He's not that good. And we forget that he's like a 6'6", 6'7" point guard that can get to the rack because he's taller than whoever else is guarding him. And then is clearly not afraid to shoot that thing because he will spot up, sidestep left, sidestep right, like, however you want it. Offensively from Tyrese Halliburton. And on top of that, I'm going to give you 8, 9, 10 assists every single time I go out there. And then you got, obviously, Pascal Siakam, who was their all-star for them this year. It wasn't Halliburton. It was Siakam. He's the all-star. He's the champion, you know, from this team. So I think that Indiana has a lot to like about their team. If you're New York, you might have the best starting five of anybody in the playoffs right now. You might. There's a good chance. You, maybe OKC, you know, I think probably have the best starting five of everybody. However, you get to that bench, it gets real, you know, real murky all of a sudden. So, and then on top of that, screw New York. Like, I mean, more than anything, like, I saw something, I posted it on my Facebook the other day, and it was a Pacers fan who was just walking somewhere, and New York fans are throwing bags of trash at them. Like a mob of people, like, you know, throwing stuff at them, chasing them, pushing them. It's like, what are we doing? Like, this is why. Do you see how they celebrated making it to the conference finals? Do you know how irritating the city would be that if they actually won a championship?
Well, like, quite frankly, they might just wipe their own city off the map.
No way.
You wouldn't even have to deal with New York anymore.
I cannot stand New York. Like, L.A., Boston, I don't like, well, Boston, because super racist. Like, that's a reason not to really like it there. L.A., I mean, I love the city. Mind you, I love the cities, right? The actual, like, architecture, all the stuff, man, super dope in both places. However, like, the teams, they get everything. If you're L.A., you get every great free agent. You get every great superstar. Like, I hate you because we don't get that here. It's hate. Whatever. Call it what it is. Boston, again, kind of like L.A. They sweat you because of what the history says for you. So you're always going to get a good free agent. And you're always going to be in this position to do well. I hate that about you, too. You know, but New York, though, it's your fans. It's no one else. It's your fans why I hate you.
Yeah, it's they're pretty.
It's your fans.
They're pretty ridiculous.
Okay,
but hey, they're happy for their team, Rashad. Well, man, come on.
And is their team not intriguing at this point? I mean, I think I said that I think the Knicks need it the most for their franchise, just because of, like, this was the Eastern Conference semifinals matchup last year, the Pacers and Knicks, that went seven games. The Pacers outshot them just like they have everybody in the playoffs this year. They're shooting at like a 41% clip for
the
playoffs.
I love them.
Yeah, no, I mean, Joe's right. They just run the hell out of you, and they're so deep, man. It's like all of a sudden you don't think they have any more horses.
And who's their coach?
And then Nebhard comes. Rick Carlisle.
No, I'm sorry. For the Knicks.
Oh, Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, Thibodeau.
He's going to run the hell out of you and run you into the ground as well. Like, that's kind of what Tibbs does. So I think that you're right. New York has to win immediately, because they're not going to have much time under Tom Thibodeau, because he's known, notoriously known throughout the NBA as being a hard-ass, a red-ass coach who's going to run his players into the ground.
No, but they have the rebounding advantage this series, and, I mean, frankly, if they can play a slower pace, I see it. I think it's like minus 150. The Knicks are favored at this point, so it's a close one, but I think it leans the Knicks' way. They've got a more intriguing starting lineup, and everybody on their team, I feel like, is still just a more talented group overall. When you add OG Anunoby and you add Karl-Anthony Towns, like, they didn't get as far as they have without Karl-Anthony Towns before.
For sure.
Is this the key for Jalen Brunson now to be a Jason Tatum-level superstar in the NBA with this win, or with an NBA Finals win? He will be.
And I think my thing is, the reason I'm going to go with the, not just because I hate the Knicks fans, but I honestly like this Indiana team more than I like the Knicks squad overall. I think the Knicks have an amazing group of starters. But when it comes down to it, I think it's going to come down to their superstars for both teams. And at the end of the day, Tyrese Halliburton can guard Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson can guard Tyrese Halliburton. There's nothing he can do about him, right? He's going to get to the rack as much as he wants to, and he's going to be able to shoot over him because he's bigger.
That will be a fun matchup to watch, and I don't know if they, you know, put someone else on Tyrese and have someone else guard him, like putting OG or even like Mikal Bridges.
For sure,
they have.
I think it's
going
to be Mikal Bridges. It has to be.
But want to talk like just those two. That's a crafty point guard series right there.
100%.
Those two, like, they are very unassuming, but then they can just go off.
Probably two favorite guards in the league right now. Favorite point guards.
It's one of those, like, again, even when I watch him and I've seen everything that they both can do, there's still this part of me when I watch him where I'm like, he's not going to take. Oh, there he goes for 14 straight. Tyrese Hoffman, he's not. Yeah, he's good, but oh, there's a game winner. Oh, there's a nasty assist. Like, those two players in itself are very crafty, and I think this is a great matchup. It's unfortunate that, you know, but it happens with all playoffs that they're here in part because of some injury, you know. But again, that's the playoffs, man. It seems like it happens every year where there is a team that falls short because they have a key player go down. But this is the series we get. And I like seeing the new blood as well. Like, the fact that either the Knicks or Pacers are going to be in the finals
that's awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love the idea that we're going to have a new champion. Well, if for whatever reason Denver doesn't win and they don't make it, there's going to be a new champion.
Yes.
And we're going to have to, where somebody, there's going to be a new superstar that we're going to put into that light as far as being the guy or being the next guy. And or is he the best player in the league? Like, we're going to have that conversation here within a few weeks. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for the series. Like I said, love the Knicks, hate their fans.
Well, we're going to have a new champion possibly, and this city's going to have a new owner. Get to that next here, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
I think they had like a, not large, but I would say significant, more significant than people thought of a chance to drop below the top 10. So,
but I think
making it better, Jordan.
I think that I think ownership was basically like, okay, we're not getting the number one overall pick. All right, let's sell this bitch. We're done here. The Blazers announced that they will be looking for new ownership and will be selling the team, and that the process will bleed into the 2025-2026 season, probably take the majority of the season. They say that, you know, sales like this from an estate can take, you know, somewhere between 9 to 12 months. So we could be here in a year announcing the new owner of the Portland Trail Blazers. But I think that you are crazy if you did not rejoice when you heard this news. What this city has wanted was just a ownership group that seemed to care a little bit more about winning than profits, more than what's a way to make more money and sell hope for this franchise. And that's what they've been doing for the last 20 to 30 years, is selling hope. Well, we want to be sold wins at this point. We want to be sold a culture that is telling us that you are trying to go after a championship, and that is the ultimate goal as a sports franchise, is to win championships.
Right.
Now, we know that, obviously, as any business goes, the goal is to make money and to be a profitable business, which I understand. But with that comes the other. Like, with winning and becoming a championship-contending team comes more money, comes consistency of that money. And I think everybody is stoked to know that we're hopefully, and I don't see why we wouldn't, get an owner that is buying this team to win it a championship, to go after a championship, and not just to line their pockets with money that they already have plenty of. So, thank God. I mean, this is the first step. I didn't think it was going to happen anytime soon. Maybe another couple of years until we got this announcement. But we finally got it. It was music to our ears.
Number one, we should have TP'd Jody's house a long time ago. A long time ago. Don't want anything bad to happen, but just make it really inconvenient for her to, like, clean all that crap up and everything. We could have had a great owner just a few years ago who probably would have put us in a great position as Blazer fans to find or to have new ownership after they've kind of decided to transition out or pass away or whatever. Phil Knight wanted to buy his home team. The creator of Nike wanted to buy the thing that probably they grew up loving here in the Northwest, which is the Portland Trail Blazers. And for whatever reason, they said, no, we're good. Don't want that. Don't need Phil Knight, you know, to be a part of this for whatever reason. Now Phil Knight's 87 and he's like, yeah, I'm good. I mean, when I was 82, I had my whole life ahead of me. When I was 82. Now,
it is weird.
I'm like, don't really want to do that. Well, right? And so
he kind of lowballed them a little bit, because now they're looking at probably a $4 billion sale, and his offer was reportedly, and this was, I think, somebody with, like, the L.A. Dodgers ownership already. So they had gotten a bunch of money, but $2 billion offer.
Yeah, but I mean,
that was years ago. The Celtics just sold for six.
Yeah, but they're the Celtics. You know what I mean? I get it. Like, they're the Celtics. They're the Clippers. We're the Blazers.
Forbes just valued the Blazers at $3.86 billion.
And that's now, but 5 years ago, what was it?
I mean, the Suns sold at $4 billion. The Clippers sold at $2 billion, but that was, about, you know. And let's be real. I mean, the Clippers brand and that team, like,
the fact that they got two.
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of fitting for that.
Yeah.
You know.
No, for sure. For sure. But the Blazers, even, you're talking 5 years ago, so we're talking 2020.
Sold.
What were the Blazers valued at?
Probably $3 billion instead of $4 billion.
So he offered $2 billion to something like that?
Well,
like,
I mean,
it's a low ball, but it's not a crazy low ball.
Like, some of the most recent purchases, just to give you guys context, though, I mean, the Utah Jazz sold for $1.6 billion in 2020. The Minnesota Timberwolves sold for $1.5 billion.
And the Blazers are on par with both of those teams.
Yeah. I mean, if they sold for
a good point, Rashawn.
If they sold for $4 billion when, I mean, the Nets sold for $3.3 billion, and granted, that was in 2010. The Suns are one of the most recent purchases, though, at $4 billion in 2022.
But also, those teams all were bought with the knowledge, or sold with the knowledge, that the media deal wasn't coming up for renewal until 2023, 2024. There was a very specific mandate that we heard was most likely going to happen once Jody took over the estate, and that was repeatedly, they are going to wait until this media deal is finalized. Oh, look, $77 billion. Now, all of a sudden, this and expansion, which you guys, I think, if everybody's heard at this point, a $5 to $6 billion times two expansion, essentially fee gets split amongst the 30 teams. So the Blazers now, as they're being sold, whoever comes in, oh, look, they just got an influx of cash. Oh, maybe I'll build an arena. It's just a much better time for Jody to sell now, obviously, than it was 5 years ago.
Well, again, thank God it's happening. That's all I can say. The thing that whenever there's a new owner, they want to make an impact right away. It's very rare where you see a new owner in the NBA buy a team and just like, you know what, we're good. We're just fine. I'm just going to stand pat with what we've been doing. And, you know, we don't need to do anything else. Make additions, make this team better, you know. They are usually want to come in guns a-blazing right away and try to build a winner and try and build a new culture. And, you know, whoever that billionaire owner group is, just pray that they care about this team and this franchise and this city the way that we do. Because and I've said this too, like, as a personal sports fan, all I want out of my teams now is the commitment to being the absolute best on the field,
just
on
to
the court.
Try.
Like, I feel like I brought this up a few weeks back. Is like, when's the last time the Blazers were a 3 seed or better? And the only time was when they got swept by the Pelicans. Like, it's been that, outside of that season.
What a great day that was. I have a picture of going to that game. Ugh, it felt good.
Of them getting swept by the Pelicans?
No, the feeling of being a 3 seed, knowing that we were favored to win this thing.
I was like,
what
the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah, going to that game, the energy that we felt that day, I remember that. I would love that. And I know you kind of, I was always saying, and I kind of on the same level as you, Joe, I was always saying, man, I want them to be competitive. And when I say competitive, I want to have the belief that, man, we can do something. We can make a run. We can make a deep run. There's going to be one team to win a championship. So if you don't win, like, that's not a complete failure.
I'd love to be a top 5 or top 6 team. That's
all I want.
Talks of, like, you know, being a one of the teams that has a chance.
Yeah, and so I think when you
well,
see...
Well, don't let your superstar get double-teamed.
So when I think when you see that 11-game win streak or that 11-game stretch and everything, and you see them doing well, there's a part of the thought process is like, okay, here's the upswing. Here we go. And that's why I was kind of excited, because we see what this team potentially could be as we look at Houston and we look at OKC and we look at these teams that had the slow burn to finally get to where they were. And I think that's why we were excited about it. But yes, I want a team that I think, or I know, could be in the conference finals this year, could be contending for the top spot in the league, would have a guy that's going to be competing for an MVP or at least the defensive player of the year. Like, I want stuff like that on this team. And hopefully, I mean, I wish Steve Ballmer could buy us.
Actually,
can he buy us too?
It's own two teams. I think there might be conflict of interest there.
It's a really funny point that you bring that up, Rashad, because you just talked about the purchase of the Clippers for $2 billion, and that was one Steve Ballmer from Microsoft. Well, here seems to be a mirror image of what the best-case scenario is for the Portland Trail Blazers, what happened with the Clippers for sale, of course, but Steve Ballmer buying it back in, what, 2016 or whatever. You got a guy out of state, out of the area, but he is fired up about the NBA. He wants to get into the league. He wants to own a basketball team, and he wants to freaking win. And I think that connection to basketball, Blazers fans, is all we need in a new owner. We don't need the local area. We just need somebody. I don't care if he's from Florida. I don't care if he's from New York. If he wants to get into the NBA and he wants to win, or she wants to win, that's all we need.
I love tech guys. Tech guys, why? Because they're forward-thinking. Right. They like to think outside the box of everything. Like, they're innovative. They're super creative about how they do stuff. And then there's this overwhelming feeling of excitement for them about what could be. So when Mark Cuban buys the Mavericks, they go from just, oh, this Dallas Mavericks team that had Jason Kidd and had all these guys that weren't doing anything, to holy hell. Like, the Mavericks are making moves. Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, Michael Finley, doing all these things. And like, OK, great. But you have a forward thinking owner that's like, man, let's try this, you know. And then you look over at Steve Ballmer and everything he's done with the Clippers, just getting them their own arena,
that
giving
new
them their
arena,
giving them their own
gorgeous
identity away from the Lakers and everything was huge for them. You know, getting the whole screen and everything, so making them feel good, making the Clippers, who have been the trash ass Clippers for years, feel like, man, we've got something here. We got Kawhi, we got James Harden,
we're trying.
You know, we're trying to do something to make things better. Until we get somebody that's willing to innovate and willing to be creative and willing to kind of put it on the all
take
on the line,
risks,
then I think we're going to be stuck in the mud forever. So whomever the new owner is, I plead with you, just please be open to doing things differently.
Well, and I again, that's usually what they want to do. They want to leave their mark right away, make their stamp on things. And it's very rare to get a new owner in any sport and they just walk in like, all right, now that I have the job, I don't really want to do anything.
Sit
I don't
back.
Want to make the team better.
First thing we're doing, we're changing these colors, right?
Fire Joe Cronin. Yeah.
No longer red, black, and white. Colors are green.
So
purple.
When that new ownership will take over in due time, but first step, man. First step has been made in that the team is announcing that
we'll
they will be selling.
Heck
hell yeah,
yes.
We'll take it.
We'll take it.
All right, we're going to take a break. Get to hour number two. Speaking of a lot of money getting thrown around in the NBA, let's get some money thrown around in the NFL. Huge new contract for a quarterback in the NFL. Mm. We do that next here. Hour number two coming up, Sports Sunday, 1080 The Fan.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to
building a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you notice the NBA playoffs, at least when they're on TNT, actually seem to be more within the timed window of like maybe 2 hours and 10 to 15 minutes than they have been in years past?
I don't know.
It's kind of nice. I don't mind an NBA game getting done in under 2.5 hours. I don't need to see that stretch to hours. The final 2 minutes just taking forever. Stop that.
I think it was Monday. Yeah, I believe it was Monday.
I think you're right.
It was the Timberwolves and Warriors.
That did not wrap up quickly.
That was the fourth quarter. Literally took 40 minutes.
That was a hard series to watch.
It wasn't even a close game. No. Like, it was just a ton of whistles, ton of stoppage reviews, this, that, run here, run that. And it was just like, I couldn't believe there. At a certain point, I got there. I'm like, okay, this feels like it's been going on a really long time. So I rewound to see, and I was like, dude, this quarter is taking 40 minutes. What are we doing?
Listen, it's too much.
I'll be honest. It was really tough to watch the Warriors. Timberwolves series.
Once Steph went out.
It just was not like great basketball at points. It was really, at points, it was just really, really sloppy. And again, all the referees were blowing the hell out of that whistle the entire time. So many, and I hate reviews, and I hate like going to the tables. Like, man, this is gonna take forever. Like, so at a point, I'm one of those people. I'll turn the channel. This is taking too long. I can see what happened in a little bit. I'll check out the highlights, but it's 10 o'clock now. Like, I don't want to watch this anymore.
Well, what you will have to watch going forward is the San Francisco 49ers franchise quarterback Brock Purdy, because he ain't going anywhere. He signs a new deal with San Francisco, and this came out of nowhere. We all kind of knew that he was up next, but it didn't seem like there had been talks, conversations about them. They needed to get a deal done, or Brock Purdy and his agent were saying that something needed to get done here soon. I mean, we're still, 4 months basically away until the season. But yeah, out of nowhere, the news drops yesterday that Brock Purdy signs a new contract with the San Francisco 49ers, I believe 181 guaranteed on the deal, but the deal itself, 5 years, $265 million with 181 guaranteed, which, boy, that is what I think you're doing with this deal is, and I always hate this, is that you are paying someone for what they have done and not what they are going to do. And the 49ers are going to start looking very different here soon. They don't have Deebo Samuel. Brandon Ayuk, who knows if he's going to be back in time for the start of this season. George Kittle's getting older, but granted, he seems kind of one of those like ageless wonders that he could be playing at this level for another 5 years. Christian McCaffrey, although he's a great player, injury concerns there. There's a lot of injuries on the team in general on both sides of the ball last year. And I just think I would have liked to wait another season of Brock Purdy and seeing what he can do with a little bit of a different team. Because what you're doing is, one, you're paying someone for what they've already done for your franchise. And I feel like the jury is still, at times it is still out on him. He had a great year last year. He had great numbers. But I get concerned with him because of what the season just looked like for the 49ers and what it might look like for them in the future. And if he's not able to, essentially lead the team to victories himself, then what are you paying him for? Like that type of money, 5 years, 265, 181 guaranteed.
Yeah.
That is, you are going to carry us and you are going to be the guy that takes us to multiple playoff trips, NFC championship games. And I feel like Brock Purdy, so far, it's been because of everything around him and not him personally. So this is where this contract, it scares me. He deserves to get paid, but this is a lot of effing money for Brock Purdy, I think.
It's a lot of effing money for a lot of people.
In general.
Especially considering, again, Brock Purdy won by committee, and a part of that committee now in Deebo Samuel is no longer there. And so you're hoping a guy like Juwan Jennings can kind of step in and really fill that role as far as receivers that used to be there filled by Deebo, which is a huge loss for them. Christian McCaffrey, if he's right, if he's healthy, then that's going to be part of your security blanket right there, because you can give him the ball on a toss, you can give it to him through between the numbers, and he's going to make sure that he gets 4 to 7 yards, almost every single time. So if he's healthy, then you've got the best running back, in the league. And then you got a bunch of questions. George Kittle's getting older. We've seen a couple steps back from George Kittle. And unlike most quarterbacks that use their tight end as a security blanket, that's not really George Kittle's role anymore, at least. It seems like he used to get more looks when Garoppolo was the quarterback. And not to say that he doesn't get them, but still, it's a little different. So I don't know. To be the seventh highest paid player in the league right now, is kind of insane to me. But I don't know. I don't know if Brock Purdy's worth that yet. He has been to a Super Bowl, so I mean, you can take that into account. But yeah, I think that's a lot of money to make him this is generational wealth. Like, this is, you know, this is going to change his kids' lives.
It's weird that you point that out, Rashad, because he has been to a Super Bowl. They give him, what, 180 guaranteed, 181 guaranteed, 265, which I believe slightly eclipses the total that Trevor Lawrence was given by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And how many Super Bowls has he been to? Yeah, zero. How many playoff games has he been to past the first round? Zero. Like, there's no world in which $55+ million is actually a good rate. I get it's the going rate for quarterbacks, but it's just not a good rate. And unfortunately, that's why the Niners had to give up on Deebo Samuel. That's why they had to give up on Javon Hargrave. It's because they had to get this money right to pay Brock Purdy. So can he do it now with an injured Christian McCaffrey? I love CMC, but like, dude, that is one of the worst positions as far as injury and longevity goes in the NFL. And maybe they can get a new wide receiver to step up like a Swiss Army knife Deebo Samuel, but I'm not convinced.
And the fact that it's the going rate shouldn't be enough to give certain guys money. Like, I'm looking right now at the highest paid players in the league. Joe, I'm sure you've seen this list. I'm sure you know who they are.
Of
the highest paid players in the league right now, NFL.
Oh, I know Dak is number one.
Dak is number one. Josh Allen's two. Joe Burrow.
Trevor Lawrence.
Up there.
Trevor Lawrence. Jordan Love. Tua Tagovailoa. Jared Goff. Brock Purdy's right after him. Justin Herbert. Lamar Jackson. The one person in the top 10 has been in the Super Bowl. One person in the top 10. You have to wait until the 14th, and he's tied for 14th, Patrick Mahomes. And then right after that, Matthew Stafford. Two guys that have actually been to a Super Bowl and won are much further down the list as far as being like the highest paid guys. Remember when Mahomes got that big contract, we all said, that's crazy. Like, kind of questioned whether Mahomes deserved that all the way, but then it's like, yeah, he definitely did.
Now, they did structure this so that way money starts showing up on the back end of the deal. Right now,
right,
as far as out of quarterbacks go, the average annual value percentage of cap at the signing date right now puts him at 14th in the league. He's just shy of 19% of the cap with signing that contract. So, I mean,
14 is crazy.
I mean, the fact that signing a brand new deal like this and the 49ers making it so it's only taking up 19% of the cap, whereas Joe Burrow is almost 25%, Dak Prescott 23.49, Justin Herbert 23.35. So, while they are paying him a lot of money in this new contract, they did it pretty smart to start because it's not taking up as much percentage of the cap. And quite frankly, they need that cap if they want to rebuild this team to get it back to a championship contending team. And because last year, I know it was a lot of injuries, but some of those injuries and some of those guys that you had, it's either a matter of fact of they are injury prone or they are getting older.
Right.
And I think if you're the 49ers and you're looking at this team, that last season needed to scare the ever-living hell out of you as far as we need to make some corrections and always be innovating, essentially. Kind of, it's what the Eagles do. They're never satisfied. Yeah, we just won a championship. We don't care because we know that we could be in the bottom barrel in a season or two. So we need to always be trying to figure out how to make our team better. And I think that hopefully the 49ers, they saw what happened last year and like, we need to nip that in the bud now. And we need to make sure if we sign Brock Purdy, we are saving ourselves a little bit of cap space here so that way we can keep building around him.
Now you just got to hope that in signing Brock Purdy, he is able to be the guy that you paid almost $300 million for. I think that's the thing now. Now that you've got this money, there's already been questions about whether or not, you know, because we all thought $130 million was right around where Brock Purdy was going to end up. And he got, you know, basically more than that in guarantees. So that means you're guaranteeing that you should be a better team as you move into the next season. And so with the injuries, with some of the subtractions from your team, I just don't know if you really set that quarterback up to be great. And so I think the expectation is going to be a little overwhelming for Brock Purdy as we kind of move forward. Like he's a good enough quarterback, but again, when you make that type of money, we're expecting huge, huge dividends. So we'll see.
It's interesting because he's not necessarily a talent elevator He's not like a guy like, I mean, easy example, obviously Tom Brady makes everybody better on the field, right? You look at a guy like Justin Herbert, he makes his wide receivers better when he actually has wide receivers to throw to. So never really seen Brock Purdy labeled that by the national media or frankly the San Francisco media. So $56-ish million for a guy that needs a lot of pieces around him. We'll see.
Again,
we'll see if they're ever back in the NFC Championship.
And there's part of me that he has had moments where I'm just like, all right, Brock Purdy, you are a good quarterback.
You can play.
Like, you can play. There's been plenty of games, plenty of moments where I'm like, okay, he's better than I'm giving him credit for. But I just think the timing of this deal after the season you just had and what your team is going to look like going forward, you better hope with this deal, you're saying that he is going to be the reason that we win games. He is going to be the reason that we make a comeback in a game and win it. He is the reason why if we do lose, it's not going to be on him. It's because the defense didn't play up to par, or it's, you know, they have the run game. That you are guaranteed, like, again, that's why quarterbacks, do you get the scrutiny, but when you get paid like this, there's even more of a microscope on you and your play. And Brock Purdy being Mr. Irrelevant, he already kind of had that magnifying glass, a microscope on him to see, like, dude, you are a last pick, but you're going to have a short leash because people will always second guess you because of your draft status.
Until you win. Until you win.
And he won, and he's played great, but now you have the contract pressure of you decide you are a highly paid individual now, so you have to go out and perform.
No roommate anymore.
No, seriously. And I think, I know we have to wrap it up, but he has to win a Super Bowl and or an MVP or be close to MVP for people to really say, okay, we've got ourselves a quarterback here, and this is our guy moving forward.
All right, let's take a break. Let's have some fun with audio next here, Sports Sunday. And my girlfriend really throwing a wrench into that those plans, though. I got to go pick her up from the Amtrak at 3:30. That's prime nap window right there.
Oh, she took a train to the show, eh?
Yeah, went to Seattle for the Kendrick Lamar SZA concert last night, and she did not take me.
Did the girlfriend ever experience the Taps Wake Up With You? To call back to our first segment this morning, go listen to it on the podcast about our alarm clocks.
I don't think she did.
It's like, dude, don't torture your lady like that.
I was going to say, and I don't think she would have been down with that. I think she probably would have put the kibosh on that if she heard it immediately. She'd be like, no, that's not happening.
And since we're having fun with audio, full disclosure, this is my alarm. Like, not even lying. Literally, I wake up to the Seattle Mariners theme every single day. I wear Mariners clothes every single day. It's kind of sad. So just wanted to point that out. Like, I'm not making fun of you. I am not judging you at all.
I'm envisioning Jordan in a Seattle Mariners pajama onesie.
Little onesie, yeah.
Yep, with the little butt flap on the back with the buttons.
I can totally see it.
And then a little, sleepy hat.
Christmas Santa hat thing.
Yep,
they have one. Give it to me, Neil. Like, yes, please.
Probably a Mariners teddy, teddy bear to sleep next to.
No, it's a moose. It's a moose.
It is a moose. It has to be a moose. Yeah,
Mariners moose that he sleeps next to every night
on his Mariners sheets and comforter.
His name is Paul.
His bed is a car.
I can see that.
It's an effing sweet car. My parents thinking about getting me a CB radio that I can call other car beds. Grandma's boy called.
What a great movie.
Jordan mentioned we have fun with audio here because last night we had an epic rivalry matchup. It's not much of a rivalry, honestly, because one of these players is much better than the other. But as we know, there's a little of the beef that has brewed over the years from mostly coming from the one person in the side of the rivalry, if you will, of Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. And again, I feel like it's more so a media rivalry because once you actually get them on the basketball court, one of them is actually good at basketball while the other isn't. And there was a couple of years ago, I believe it was the rookie year for both of them last year. And Angel Reese wanted to make sure that people knew why they watched the WNBA.
People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold out arenas, like just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role, and I'll continue to take that on and be that for my teammates. And if I want to be that, and I know I'll go down in history, I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that.
So basically referencing that, people are watching the WNBA, and we have these big games and big moments now. It's not just because of Caitlin Clark. It's because of me, too, all right? I'm one of the bigger pulls and one of the bigger attractions. And then last week, Chicago Sky were having their preseason or their season press conference to start the WNBA season, and someone asked her this question.
Last year, you made a powerful statement saying the reason people are watching women's basketball is not just because of one player, but because of you too. A year later, do you feel like you're
next
getting
question?
Yeah, we'll move on. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll move on.
God.
So then someone asked her about it after she went on and made that statement and went off about why people are watching and how important she is. Someone then basically asks her in, I think, a pretty nice way, like, yeah, hey, you know, you made a pretty powerful statement last year about that. And not even like letting him finish it, just says next question. Why? Like, why are you not like, why are you the way that you are? Why are you mad about him asking this question when you were the one that clearly came out and said, oh, no, I'm just as big of a deal. And, you know, there's a reason that people are coming for these games. And it's not just Caitlin Clark. It's me, too. And then, like, if you're going to talk like that and then get called out on it, not even a week later, a year later, why are you next questioning it?
So, okay. So a couple things. One.
And as I say that, she just missed another layup.
Yeah, probably. I mean, so, okay.
That sound you hear from far away, that's the ball hitting the underside of the rim.
I hate to be, like, the other guy, but she's not 1,000% wrong. She's not. I mean, we can say what we want to. No, is she as good as Caitlin Clark? No. Is she as good as Angel Reese, excuse me. Is she as good as, what's my girl?
Asia.
From Asia Wilson? No. Like, she's not. But she's polarizing, and she's pretty, and she's all these things that like people are drawn to for whatever reason. So she's not wrong in the sense that people are going to watch for her too, whether you love her or hate her. Like, people watch because they sometimes,
is she becoming the Draymond, sometimes you want to
see
NBA?
Sometimes you want to see a train wreck, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you see that there is potential there. She does average like 17 rebounds. She had like 17 rebounds last night and 14 points. So
yeah, when you
not to say she
when
can't,
you miss 15
again,
shots
I'm
right
not,
under the rim.
I'm not doing that because obviously Caitlin Clark she's amazing. Like, I mean, most NBA or WNBA GMs would take her to start their franchise. They've already put that poll out there. Caitlin Clark is the one. She had a triple double. Well, she's had like 3 triple doubles within her first like 30 games, which is like a record or tied close to a record. Like, Caitlin Clark is something super different. Where Angel Reese, the difference between the two of them is Angel Reese wants to be everything but a basketball player. Caitlin Clark just wants to hoop. I don't care about everything. I'm coming to the game. I've got a little business outfit on, whatever. Angel Reese wants to be on the runway. She wants to be courtside at the big game. She wants to be at the Met Gala. She wants to be
at all these other things.
No, but she's there. Caitlin Clark is not. You know what I mean? And Caitlin Clark is not because Caitlin is really,
the only reason
she's focused on basketball. Like, I think Angel Reese and my wife was kind of saying the same thing because she, again, and I think we have to really take into account how women follow sport, but now black women have a woman that's pretty and athletic, and the Asia Wilsons and all these, the Skylar Diggins of the world, that, man, they can kind of flock to. So she's not wrong, as she's saying, because, listen, I work with students, I work with kids, I work with a lot of young high school girls that play basketball, especially at Benson High School, which is probably the best, one of the best schools in the state. These girls like Angel Reese. They like, you know, her style, her swag, her everything, like they do. So from a basketball standpoint, we're watching to see how you are getting better.
Then answer the question, Angel.
Now, see, there's the thing. Now it's the thing about accountability.
What the hell are you doing?
Even if you just said, yeah, I stand on that. Cool.
Do words matter?
They do, and this is why.
But they don't.
Hold on.
Okay,
this is where, she's still kind of very immature. This is where she's still very immature, and these are things that either they're going to change or people real quick are going to figure out that you're not here for hoop. As pretty as Asia Wilson is, she is all about basketball. Like, that's my thing. You know what I mean? Like, so you see her at these things, but you know basketball is first for her. And with Angel Reese's podcast, with the McDonald's deal, with all the things she's doing, the runway stuff, like, basketball is just one of the things that she does. And so it's just, You know, but Caitlin Clark is a hoop. I don't care nothing about nothing else but playing basketball, and I think that's the difference between the two of them. And I don't know if you saw this, but she has a podcast, right? And she had Lisa Leslie on. And she asked Lisa Leslie, like, do you have any advice for me?
Mm-hmm.
Lisa Leslie straight
up. Yeah, make your layups.
Work on your layups. You have to make your layups. Like, as blunt and as brutal as it gets.
And she was willing to hear it.
And I guess she spent some time working with her. Didn't show last night, you know, because she was like 4 for 17.
Might be like Shaq
crazy.
And free throws, man.
Something crazy. But I think she has to really focus on not being pretty, not being cute, not being fashionable, not being any of those things, and focus on being a basketball player, and then she'll get better. But I just don't see she's put in any I don't want to say that she hasn't put in any work, because I don't know how much work this young lady's done. But on the court, it doesn't seem like we've put in the work to be as great as a Caitlin Clark. And I think that's where Caitlin's always going to get that
high praise
from everybody.
She is. She plays forward, and so far in one game, this is over one game. She had 12 points, but she shot 35% in the field. She's supposed to be the paint boss.
She's supposed to be like 50-60% at that point.
And I could see if they were all threes, right? If they're all long twos.
Of course.
All right, man, like, you know, had a bad shooting night. But these are layups you're taking. And that's my issue. And I think that's all of our issues. Like, if she were averaging 20 and 15, we'd be having a much different conversation.
She shot 39% from the field last year, and she only took 16 three-pointers out of her 419 shots. 16 of them were three-pointers. You know how many 2 points and field goals were missed?
And if she can make seven layups and six free throws, or even four free throws, that's going to give her 18 points and like 15 rebounds a night. Then all of a sudden we can have this conversation about people being there to see you play, and you are on the same level as we're not though. And I think it's going to take more of us saying, like, nah, bro, you got to hold people accountable.
Well, she almost fought her last night as well, too. There was a foul on Caitlin Clark, and knocked Angel Reese over, and she looked like she was going to swing on her.
I know we got to get out, but, like, I hate that words don't matter. I kind of went on a diatribe about this when Chuck came out. Chuck Barkley said, hey, you know what? I'm going to retire. If we don't get this whole NBA thing fixed, and if I don't end up talking NBA next year, essentially code for if I'm not going to get the money that I want to, which was, what, $18, $20 million a year, you're vastly overpaid at that point talking about anything really in that, you know, zeitgeist or whatever. Like, it is so ridiculous that you just throw these things out there. Chuck never wanted to quit. He's just saying stuff. Like, Angel Reese not standing on that statement from a year ago pisses me off, man. You can't next question that.
Or she
you
realized how you, silly it sounds. She was like, yeah,
then
I'm not answering that.
Well, then you know what?
Silly her question.
I was silly. That's all you have to say.
All right, we're going to take a break, come back next, maybe do a little bit more Blazers talk or NBA stuff, talk about the teams that got eliminated this week and what the future looks for them. We'll do that next, but first, Schultzy with SportsCenter Update. It's pretty comical at this point. Like, when it happened, it was just like, I was expecting them to get the 10th pick, you know? I was just like, you know, whatever. Like, our odds are not good. Usually that 10 to 14 range usually stays the same. Well, joke's on us. It did not stay the same, because the team right behind the Blazers in the odds ended up getting the number one overall pick, which pushed the Blazers back to the 11th overall pick. But even with me mentally preparing for their logo to come up at 10, when it got to 11 and they said the Portland Trail Blazers, I just laughed. I was like, of course. I was like, not only is it like you screwed yourself into a 10th overall pick, nah, actually, let's drop you down one more.
Well, and congrats to the Mavericks, who made the play-in and got the number one overall pick.
Yeah. And congrats to the Blazers on the, you know, nice little 11-game streak or 10-game stretch in January. Banners being made and will be hung up in the Moda Center here soon.
Rashad, you regretting any of that positive talk about the 11 of 12 stretch there?
Man, listen, it's hard to be positive, man. It's tough to be a Blazer fan and to consistently kind of try to look at things glass half full, right? Like, because you don't want to be completely negative, because, like, what's the point of that? Like, so you want to act like there's some hope, but I don't know. It's tough being a Blazer fan. The fix is in. You know, we talked about this before the show. I don't think there's any way that you can justify the Dallas Mavericks getting the number one pick after giving up their guy. Like, but this whatever. We're
Rashad,
not talking about them. We're talking about us.
You breaking out the tinfoil, are you?
No, they're not talking about them. We're talking about us right now. And apparently we have the opportunity to get somebody whose draft comparison is Coby White. So dope, right? Another 6'3", six two guard that's going to be, you know, an amazing part of our really small guard rotation that we have already. So I'm looking forward to it, right? Like, let's get this show on the road. Let's just go ahead and draft Kasparawa Jakushinakis. I'm not sure how to say that name.
You crushed it.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to say it. It needs to be spelled phonetically. But either way, he's from Illinois, and he's a point guard slash shooting guard.
Not with that name. I didn't know Kasparis was an Illinois name.
Well, actually, he's from Lithuania.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so apparently that's the guy that a lot of people feel like is going to fall to 11 and end up a Portland Trailblazer. So yeah, am I psyched about it?
I'm seeing one about this French dude, Noah Essengu. Seeing the guy from Maryland, Derek Queen, also on a mock draft. I mean, who knows if the Blazers even keep this pick once it comes down to it, but as the team or as a team like the Portland Trailblazers has to do, you got to build the team with young talent and in the draft. And so I feel like they're going to end up keeping this pick. I don't know if they're going to try and trade up or what they're going to do, but
Sixers might want to give up the third, maybe,
or you know, the number two, the San Antonio Spurs. But yeah. If I'm them, I'm also keeping that pick. Like, yes, I have Wemby. Yes, I have Stephen Castle. Like, let's keep adding De'Aaron Fox. Let's just keep adding great young talent. And a number two overall pick with the type of talent that is at that position, whether it's Harper or Bailey or, you know, Edgecombe likely to go fourth anyways. But it's like, dude, why not? Like, this is one of the top heaviness of this draft with those first four picks to me. It's like, I don't care what your situation is, whether you think you need the pick or not. Why wouldn't you want to have one of those four players? So I see the Spurs keeping their pick, but
yeah, Bailey with Wemby. Are you kidding
me? That's going to be crazy.
Oh my God.
That's going to be crazy. Or if they decide that they don't want to go the whole De'Aaron Fox route, they can go ahead and get Dylan Harper, you know, in that spot. So there's a lot of, if you're at San Antonio, if you're the top four, you feel great about you. I think the one team in that top four that got kind of screwed over, was Charlotte. Like, I mean, because you look at the other teams, like, they don't.
You mean the Eastern Conference Blazers?
Yeah, they don't need more. Like, and this, how are we ever going to create parity in the NBA if you keep the top heavy teams as top heavy as possible? Philly didn't need more. Philly was injured. That was their whole thing. Embiid was hurt. Paul George was hurt. I think Maxey was banged up a little bit during the season. They didn't need more. They needed to be healthy. And then you throw in Jared McCain, who was a great as a rookie before he got hurt. They don't need more. And now they get it. So Philly's back to being on top. Awesome. Dallas, who clearly didn't need, again, injuries. Anthony Davis, Kyrie Irving. It was injuries that kept Dallas out of it. And now you give them the number one pick when Cooper Flagg, man, get the F out of here, bro. This is weak. And now, of course, the 11th pick goes to the Blazers. And some guy from Illinois who's supposed to be Coby White, or some guy that's supposed to be closer to Jalen Slauson or Enrique Freeman. Who are these guys? Who is Enrique Freeman?
He's the Blazers' next superstar, Rashad.
Yeah, I was going to say, get to know his name well.
That's his
pro comparison. That's how Blazers fans work.
His pro comparison is Enrique Freeman. Who was that?
Well, seeing, again, this is the second mock draft, maybe even third that I've seen of Derek Queen mocked to the Blazers at 11, the forward out of Maryland. He could play probably a little bit of center, but he'll be smaller. He's 6'10". But they have his player comps to Domantas Sabonis. Not bad.
Like that.
Boris Diaw.
I'm not mad at that either.
No.
Jamichael Green, Thaddeus Young.
Definitely mad at that one.
No.
Hey, Thaddeus Young had some good years as a
trash.
Couple good years.
I think Thaddeus Young even was an all-star one year.
No.
Not
with a name like Thaddeus.
I think he had one year as a 76er.
He's never
before,
been an all-star.
I think when they were kind of entering their process.
You are wrong, sir. You are wrong. He played
all
a
rookie.
While.
All rookie. All right, I'll take that.
That's close.
He was seventh in rookie of the year voting and turned into a decent NBA player.
So one year for Philly, he had 17.9 points per game and in 79 games of action.
Kind of
his second year, he averaged 15.3 points. That was good.
What year was that?
This was the 17.9. That happened in 2013, 2014.
Yeah, he couldn't shoot three-pointers very well, though. So
Philly was trash then. They hadn't started the process yet.
Bah! They weren't too bad. What was it? They were 34 and 48 that year. That was a Doug Collins team.
It's trash.
Come on.
So you're saying that a comp of Thaddeus Young will impact the Blazers
I'm gonna more focus on that DeMontis Sabonis comp.
Okay, yeah. So I like that better. So
high end Sabonis.
I'm gonna low end. Yeah, choose Thaddeus to Young. Focus on that part of the player comp.
You mean like the low end of Scoot Henderson is like pretty much Antonio Daniels, which is what we're witnessing still 2 years in.
So they on the Ringer, they got this whole write up on Derek Queen, but the last paragraph sums him up. It says, overall, scouting Queen is a never-ending back and forth between marveling over his skill and fretting over how he'll adapt to the NBA. The speed of the game, the size of the athletes, the ruthless accountability. If he doesn't become a semi-dependable shooter or a lob threat, what are the conditions in which he'd thrive? There are still too many instances when, because of his lapses in attention to detail, he leaves opportunities on the table for his talent to impact to the game. To maximize who he can be, Queen will have to find a way to adopt a mentality of doing his work early as opposed to waiting until a situation is dire before he springs into action. Well, that sounds great.
It sounds like he'll fit in perfectly.
Yeah. That is why building through the draft is an absolute crapshoot. Not only where you pick, but if you get the guy that you want, you just don't know. And that's what the Blazers are forced to do. It sucks.
Well, this is, again, these are two quotes from this article, if you will, about Derek Queen. The first, very first line of it says, Queen is a bit of an odd bird. Like, okay.
That's a great. Good thing.
And then another line in it, Queen is one of the tougher calls in the draft class, a true glass half full or empty player. So there's nobody knows what he's going to be like.
Blazers fans are already in on him. They're clamoring.
Yeah,
I know.
This is our guy.
That is just the Victor Criapa type freaking draft pick, the Eric Barkley, the Nolan Smith type draft pick that we need. Good God.
Well, the Blazers, when's the draft in June,
yeah,
I believe?
First week of June.
They could be saying, yes, Queen.
Excuse me?
I don't like it.
Last week of June.
That Blazer fans don't say that.
That was a good one. That's getting a look of
don't say that.
That's getting a lack of a look of disgust for my child if I pulled that one off.
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna see that happen. Yes, Queen.
That's terrible. That's terrible. We don't like that.
All right, let's take a break. Talk about some golf or something. I don't know. There's a major championship going on right now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's the PGA Championship, bro.
Oh, Quail Hollow. I guess it's a
come on
pretty big one.
Golfer Rashad over there.
Yeah, man. Take you through all the strokes, right? on all the greens and the tees.
The way that you said that, what am I watching here?
If you could also mark and get me the drop of him saying that, that'd be great.
Why is it always my stuff that's getting marked, Mike?
Hey, man, you got to have the ear for it. You got to be ready for when I say some outlandish stuff.
Oh, I'm always ready. Just keep that finger on the button for Joe. He's been saying a lot of stuff today, and we've kind of let it go. But, yeah, we're going to keep that finger on the trigger moving forward.
All right, take a break. Wrap up the show next here, 1080 The Fan, Sports Sunday. The Game 7 matchup between the Nuggets and Thunder. Winner goes to the Western Conference Finals, take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. And then we have a major championship golf right now. PGA Championship is on right now, but the leader in the clubhouse, or right now at the driving range specifically, is at 11 under. That is Scottie Scheffler, the best golfer in the world, has a chance to win his third major tournament and continue on his dominant run of being just a really good golfer. Someone called him the Tim Duncan of golf, and I was like,
"See
that?
Just gets it done."
Yeah, just it's not pretty, it's not sexy, okay, it's not flashy, but he's going to show up and he's just going to dominate. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
and then you'll shake your hand afterwards and say, good job.
Yeah, whenever you shoot, 65, it's pretty good. You enter, you're up three entering the final round and everything's like, so I think things for Scottie Scheffler are looking up. He's one of the ones, like, since Tiger kind of took a massive, massive step back, it seems like this is the name that's come up more than anybody else's.
His or Rory's.
Really, I mean, his and Rory's, but I think Rory, there was a window, and we were kind of talking about this a little earlier during the break. There was like this window for Rory for like 3 or 4 years. He had a video game. he was like the...
Well, it was when he won all of his first majors.
Yeah, he was the face of golf. Like Tiger, and it was great because you got this young guy who's taking over. You got the old guard and Tiger who's obviously was getting older and was getting more and more hurt and stuff. And so Rory came in and then he kind of went on a little dip for a while and just wasn't that same dominant golfer, which I think tends to happen to a lot of golfers. And then, he found Michael Jordan's secret stuff. And since then, he's just been... I don't know, it's been what, like maybe four years where then he's been just on a crazy...
Rory?
Yeah, no.
Scottie Scheffler. I mean, yeah, he won the Masters in last year in 2024, won it in 2022. Last year, he had a two-month stretch where it seemed like he won every tournament he played in.
Yeah, so he's been on fire.
And yeah, yesterday he just comes out firing, and I want to say what went into the day he was... down by three strokes and then he leaves the day up by three strokes. And Scottie's just one of them dudes where, again, he's very likable. He just shows up, he plays golf, he might get arrested, but other than that,
I think that game's just street cred. I think the arrest made people like, oh, number one, you have to look into what happened, and then he became like a victim's like, oh yeah, that's messed up. Like, yeah. So Scottie Scheffler is one of those guys that I'm always riding for. So if he's up right now, especially going to this final round, I'm checking it out.
Yeah, that's going to start at 11:40 on CBS. My nap is probably going to happen somewhere after those first few holes. I'm guessing around hole four or five of this round, I will be passing out.
So no game seven for you.
Oh, yeah, game seven. That might be waking up like halfway in between the third quarter or something like that.
There it is.
Yeah.
You have to see the whole thing. Just see how it ends.
Nope, that's classic Joe Fisher right there. Is only watch part of the game because I got to get my nappy in.
I'm not mad at you.
Sunday nappy time. All right. Rashad, thank you as always.
My man.
Jordan, thank you as always.
Love you guys. Love you all. Damn Blazers.
And all the listeners out there that have joined us on this Sunday morning, appreciate you. And we will catch you all next week here on Sports Sunday at 9 a.m. Peace.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hosting season's here. Are your Windows guests ready? Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is on now. Save up to 40% site-wide and get a free measure. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Early access to Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale is happening now. Shop and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down. we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.